Greetings, sisters, Sister Deb from DontParish.com. So today I want to encourage you with something here and let you know that if you're sharing the truth of God's word and people hate it, it's the message they hate, not the messenger. And I really want to help you out in this. And so I'm doing this because I want to encourage you, and you can probably figure that within our ministry. We get a lot of people who are always telling us we're doing it wrong, and like they say, you're too bold, or you're too loud, or you should go inside, or you should talk to them, or whatever it is that they want to come up with. And then, well, we consider the source because we ask them to show us their ministry and how they do it, and none of them are doing anything. They're just telling us how to do it, but they have nothing going on themselves except probably sin, which is why they're not doing anything and standing on the truth. So anyway, I'm just trying to warn you, sisters, you know, Satan's going to use every tactic he can to stop us sisters from sharing the biblical gospel. And just like we see it with us on the streets, it's not just sisters he's trying to stop. It's the brothers, sisters, brother, whatever. It's everybody that Satan wants to get them to be quiet about. And so I just thought maybe this would encourage you, sharing you some of our experiences. And so before I get there, I want to share that before we were born again, we did have a lot of friends and acquaintances, and people never had a problem with us. They loved us. You know, we were like party people. We were friendly. And my parents knew me for 39 years before I was born again. That's when I was born again, when I was 39. But, you know, as soon as we were born again, everybody hated us for the most part. And sisters, it was because of the message. Because one day they loved us, the next day they hated us and they wanted nothing to do with us. It wasn't us. It was the message that we were sharing. Even in our youth in Christ, they didn't even want that. And, you know, I think about my parents knowing me all those years and all my friends and stuff. So much for friendship evangelism. All those years, and they still didn't want the truth. It just proves that it's the message, not the messenger. So anyway, I just thought I'd share the various ways that we tried to share the gospel. And sisters, the results are always the same, that unless someone is called by God, and we know that from scripture, God calls people. You can't come unless you're called by God. They don't want to hear it. And it doesn't matter how you do it. It's not the messenger and the delivery. It's the message. It's the truth of God that people hate. And I'm going to prove that at the end of this with some scripture. So right now I'm going to share some of all the different ways that we've shared the gospel. Same message, different delivery. And the results are the same, just like I was saying. So let me think. Way back in the beginning, we would talk face-to-face with people, with our family and friends, everybody who knew us for all those years. And they weren't interested, and so we tried sending them cards and letters and emails, and everybody that we knew we tried reaching out to. We even offered to cook, like, dinners or meet up for coffee and pie. And, yeah, the result was still the same. It was the message they didn't like, not the messenger or how it was delivered. And I'm trying to think, we went to a Bible study at one of the religious buildings, and we sat right next to them. We tried talking with them. We sat through a revival service. We've gone inside and talked to these people. And at this particular revival service, it's kind of a funny, but it's a sad story. They had an evangelist there, and he was preaching up on the stage, and he asked a question. He said, "What is repentance?" And then he paused. And nobody said anything, so Brother James spoke up and he answered the question, and that, oh, he got mad. He was like, "I'm doing the preaching." So Brother James said, "Then why did you ask the question?" Well, they threw us out of there. But anyway, let's see. We've stood right outside their doors without signs or preaching and just talking to them when they come out of their services. We park our car across the street from the religious places. We stood quietly by our vehicle with a sign. We've stood quietly on sidewalks with signs. Brother James has preached with no amp, just with his voice, lifting his voice in different situations. He's preached with amp so they can hear from across the street or however across a field or wherever it is. We stood like among a bunch of the crowds with signs, just being quiet. We've sat down. We tried this too. We do all these different things to prove that it's the message, not the messenger. We were in a busy tourist place. He was preaching with the amp. Then he preached without the amp. And then we stood on the streets with signs quietly, and we were handing out gospel cards if anybody wanted one. Then we sat down on the bench, and we were holding our signs. And we were just saying hello and offering gospel cards. And, I'm going to share this one with you. So I'm just giving you all the examples here, and the results are always the same. If people are drawn to the truth, it's the message, not the messenger. And so there was a time that we found a house, and they call them repo houses. And it's where people leave them, and they're usually kind of a mess. And the bank has them, and they sell them for like super, super cheap. So we found one, and for 2 weeks, we worked day and night making that, fixing that up. Brother James took a couple weeks off his job for his vacation, took 2 weeks vacation, and we worked really hard on that for a couple people that we knew needed some help. And they still didn't even want the message. It's not us. It's not the messengers, sisters. It's the message. And so, you know, even like the Anabaptists, people say that they're different and they don't want to listen because, you know, maybe some people are louder, bolder, more energetic, more whatever. And a lot of the Anabaptists, they talk like this. They all conform to each other. They actually don't allow individualism within them. They call that rebellion. You know, even though God created us in all different ways and different characters and natures and stuff, they try to conform everybody the same. So Brother James even spoke to them the way they speak and being quieter, and they still don't listen. In fact, I'll tell you, one time we went to one of their religious bodies. We were invited to go inside. Brother James said no, because they already started. We're like, no, we don't want to interrupt the service or nothing. He's like, no, you can come in. He was really friendly. And then the bishop came out, and he even said, well, I'd like to invite you to lunch, but you know what, just talking to him a few minutes, they ended up calling the police. And we were talking nice and calm. I mean, It's just the message, sisters. People are either drawn to the truth. You can preach the same message in all these different ways, and that's my point. We did all these different ways, and it just proves that it's the message people don't want or do want, not the messenger. So I'm going to talk to you about my family a little bit more. I had an older brother who I got along with really well before I was born again, and he worked at a company down the street from me, and he used to ride his motorcycle over, and we'd go for a ride at lunchtime. And I'm only sharing that with you so you can understand there was no hatred there. We got along pretty good. And when he was 45, this was after I was born again, I heard he was dying from cancer. And at that time, he wanted nothing to do with me and my new life in Christ. But I wrote him letters asking if we could come see him and share the hope and the love and the peace of Christ with him through the biblical gospel, not what the heretical Lutheran church was teaching us as we were growing up. And he died, and I never got to see him before he died. He hated the message, not the messenger. And I'll tell you about my mom and dad. They had 5 children total, and many, many years ago, when my 2 older brothers were younger, they had a little girl, and when she was 2, she died. Now, I won't go into the details on that, but I was born like 2 years later, and then I had a younger brother 2 years after me. And I don't know, I've often pondered that, a little 2-year-old daughter dying. And you would think that would make people seek the truth of God, but it didn't. They just went more into their sins, as I see throughout the years. But so if we fast forward many years later and think about it, one of my brothers is dead that I just talked about. My parents don't have me as their daughter because they hate the truth. They loved me one day, they hated me the next because I was born again, and the message that I was talking about, they didn't like, even though they claimed Christ. And so now they have, out of the 5 children, they have 2. And it's a pretty sad thing because, you know, a couple months ago, when I found out that my mom was sick and they thought, you know, she's got to do surgery, and I think she's still really sick. They thought she was going to die. She's like in her upper 70s. I offered, after I talked to Brother James, that we would drive 10 hours from where we are to go see them and share the truth with them. And you know what the answer I got was? She'd rather die than have us come visit because she don't want to hear the truth. They claim Christ. So this is my mother who gave birth to me and knew me for 39 years. Loved me one day, hated me the next. It wasn't me. It's not the messenger. It's the message they hate. And Brother James and I have proven that over the years by giving the same gospel message in all those different ways. And I'm going to prove it. Our Lord and Savior proved it to us. In Matthew 10, I'm going to read 22 to 25. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in the city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? So we just see Jesus proved they're going to hate us because of him, which is the word, which is the truth. So all these people that we used to know and get along with loved us until we had the truth of Jesus Christ that was coming out of our mouth that we were sharing with him. They didn't even like our new life that we were living. So on the other hand, I want to share this. You know, we know if somebody's being called by God and the Spirit's moving within them, it doesn't matter how we share the message because they either love it and come to it or they run off and hate it. And I'm going to give you an example. We were at a huge festival and we were on the outside of the fence. Everybody was on the inside. And yeah, there was a lot of mockers and stuff. And a man was walking by mocking and laughing. He was waving a cross that was on his necklace. And Brother James, he preached that crosses are pagan and that they must repent and be born again by the biblical gospel, which he started preaching. And that man was walking away when Brother James said that. And all of a sudden he stopped and turned around and he walked back and he asked Brother James what the gospel was. And he stood there for a long time while they discussed the truth of God's word. And sisters, the next day this man ran down the street chasing us down so he could talk some more. And so let's get this straight. Brother James sliced that man with the word of God and it drew him over to talk more, whereas everybody else laughed and walked away. It's the message, isn't it? You see where this is going? And so he didn't love us when he was mocking, but the message sliced him and he came back for more. So here's another one. We were at Mount Rushmore last summer and Brother James was preaching and a lot of people were laughing and mocking, shaking their heads. But one man walked up to us and he stood there for the longest time. He was drawn by the truth, whereas everybody else was pushed away. They hated the message, but this man loved the message. It wasn't the messenger. And then, this one here I was thinking about, it wasn't that long ago. It was this summer when we were outside of a wicked music festival and there were so many people, they were getting really mad. They ended up calling the police and they all ended up going back into their wicked festival, hating the truth. But those two police officers that could leave, they stood there asking questions. They were drawn by the preaching and the truth, whereas everybody else was pushed away from it. It wasn't the messenger, because the police didn't come over to talk to the messenger. They were called because of those who hated the message. But they loved it and stood there and listened to it. So it's clear to see it's all about the message, not the messenger. I mean, our Savior told us that. And I'm only sharing these experiences because it emboldens us, because we see what Jesus said is actually true. And so hopefully that kind of encourages you. And I don't want you to listen to those people who are trying to shut you up and trying to make you feel bad and trying to make you feel guilty that it's you that's pushing people away. No, sisters, it's the word and it's the truth. Either they're drawn to it or they're repelled from it. Let God deal with what goes on with it. And so I'm going to leave you with 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. Let this encourage us and strengthen us and get us going. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap up to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Wow, that gets me ready to go. I'm ready to go hit the streets again, sisters. Hey, praise God. All right, sisters, I'm going to let you go. Hold fast. Much love to you, and may God be praised.